The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max's Extreme Rules 2017 review. And tonight we are brought to you, like always, once again, by the W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place where you go find all your great wrestling needs and also a lot of great wrestling podcasts. Don't forget, hey, if you haven't, you know, maybe subscribed, rated, or reviewed Wrestling to the Max, go do that now. You can do that, of course, on iTunes and all the other platforms that podcasts are available. And if you love W2Mnet.com and you love those other podcasts I just mentioned, make sure you go subscribe to the W2M Network. That's also a great place to go rate and review. So please go do that now. I am Gary Vaughn, and along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And, of course, we're going to give Paul Leeser the night off. He had a lot of things going on this weekend, so me and Sean are going to man this boat, and we're going to get through some Extreme Rules discussions here throughout this night and talk about these matches that were really kind of interesting going through the whole process. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. So, Sean, I mean, I think the first on the docket we'll just really quickly kind of jump into, because maybe the least important here, and that is the pre-show. So let's go ahead and jump into this, and let's talk about Apollo Crews facing against Kalisto. And this is a match that they've kind of, you know, been having here and there on Raw, of course, you know, and this has kind of been building up and, you know, kind of to a point, because we're seeing Apollo Crews kind of hit that wall of, I'm either really going to listen to Titus O'Neil or I'm just going to be that good old boy that I once was. And once again, we have a pretty much a big match for Kalisto, because he got a lot of offense here. You saw a lot of great things, actually, from him, if you ask me personally. I think he did a good job getting himself over to a lot of this crowd. And Apollo Crews, you know, of course, got his stuff in. But he was distracted by none other than Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil kind of on the outside, nonstop barking orders, you know, trying to, of course, you know, give Apollo Crews all this information. And at the end of this match here, we have Apollo Crews basically saying to Titus O'Neil, I did it. You know, I did the flip, you know, I forget what you call the move itself, but he said, you know, I did it. You know, what is it? And then Kalisto, of course, sneaks up from behind and Salida de Sol. 1, 2, 3. You have Kalisto winning because of the distraction. And I'm sure this did not sell well with Apollo Crews, but even more Titus O'Neil. So, Sean, I mean, after all that and everything you saw here, how did you feel about this match overall?
I thought it was actually a pretty good match. I mean, these two have a history together from Dragon Gate, so there's that. Obviously, they have chemistry, so and it was obviously evident there. These guys, they did their stuff. Do you have the Titus O'Neil involvement? But just a really good match, well-paced. I like that Kalisto won on pay-per-view, so I don't know. I guess this keeps going. I just don't really know that I want to see a Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil match down the line, because that seems like what's probably going to wind up happening, because Apollo will get upset at Titus O'Neil costing him matches and whatnot, and just...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to say, because I think this is interesting to a point, and, you know, I get it, not everybody's into it, but I do kind of like the direction they're going here, because of the fact that we've seen, you know, Kalisto and Apollo Crews at one time being really good friends, And with this involvement of Titus O'Neil and him swaying Apollo Crews is creating that friction. And I like that. It may not be a major storyline. It may be a very low part of Raw, but it's still, I think, at some point, an interesting scenario here. And I like the way that, you know, Kalisto's finally getting a chance to showcase what he can do. It feels like forever since we've seen Kalisto get this much offense and really showcase himself out there for the fans. And sadly, you know, it is a pre-show match, so not everybody actually saw this match. You know, a lot of times, sometimes we skip the pre-show match. So I think that that's the sad thing about it. But other than that, he did a good job for the live crowd. They kind of got behind Kalisto. You could have people, you know, chanting Lucha and all that. So that's a good thing. This Apollo Crews thing, I hope, leads to him turning more heel. I hope Titus O'Neil really does get him to go in a different direction. And then down that line, you know, maybe 6 months, then you have Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil go against each other. But, you know, your scenario here also could work, you know, where Apollo Crews and Titus immediately start bumping heads. So
We'll see. It could definitely just be like one of those, we just have a misunderstanding, and then mm-hmm. they try to keep it going, and then Kalisto does it again, and so he gets mad, and, you know, it could be a SummerSlam thing that they try to do. Who knows, right? It's very small on the importance of storylines. So, I mean, right now, technically, I would say that Goldust and R-Truth is a bigger storyline than this is. So they could just totally blow this off on a Raw, and it mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
And isn't it weird, Sean, that they didn't even – you brought up Goldust and R-Truth. They didn't bring those two guys in at all in this show. Didn't even have any kind of package or just show anything with those guys. I know.
Like, why not do a little promo with them mm-hmm. somewhere? I mean, you had 15 minutes to kill left over in the pay-per-view. I mean, not that you have to use all of it, but I'm just saying, you know, why not? I guess they figure that it's – since there's no match, that they can just do it on Raw, and it's no big deal. I don't know.
It really being another feud that's not very high on the pecking order, I think that could be a reason why they're just kind of like, we can just kind of slide this over, and we'll just focus more on the Raw until maybe Great Balls of Fire. But at the same point, I mean, there is that extra time you mentioned. Plus, you know, Kalisto and Apollo Crews, that's nothing that's anything bigger. So you would think that they would do something where maybe they'd have two pre-show matches instead of just one or something to that effect. But who knows? I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking here. Maybe they have a point, and maybe that's why they didn't do it. But nonetheless, I hope that this stuff with Kalisto and Apollo Crews gets even hotter if they are going to continue this, and especially if they are going to push away over to SummerSlam. I personally want to see Apollo Crews to get even darker, to get to be persuaded to be that, because I think it's going to help him down the line. So we'll see. You never know. Well, let's start by talking about the actual big beginning of this show. Of course, this pay-per-view really starts off with the Intercontinental title being on the line. Dean Ambrose is putting it up against The Miz. And in this matchup, we need to remember that Dean Ambrose could not be disqualified. If he was disqualified, then he would lose his Intercontinental Championship. So in that case, he was trying to protect himself throughout this match from being disqualified. The Miz, though, on the other hand, was trying his best in every way to make Dean Ambrose disqualify himself, doing things like really just pissing him off, swinging at him in his face, and really getting Dean Ambrose angry. Also, heck, even pulling one of the, you know, what do you call it? I can't even think, Sean, tonight for some reason.
He pulled one of the turnbuckle pads off.
Thank you. The turnbuckle. I don't know why I kept calling it something else. But you're right. He pulled that off, tried to get Ambrose to run him into it, and he just stopped short of that. And, of course, you know, did a lot of other things to really get this thing going, including having Marie slap him on the ring apron. So all this, you know, really came to where, you know, it was a good match because it got Miz to be really key in using his intelligence and finding other ways to do things. It also showed that Dean Ambrose, you know, wasn't stupid, and he had to work this match very smart. And I liked it for that fact. I don't think it was a bad match overall. The ending we got here was where we had the referee finally getting Maryse to leave, told him Maryse to leave. And as the ref gets back in to the ring itself, we had The Miz push Ambrose into him and knocking the ring, the ref out of the ring. And you got the ref now blaming Dean Ambrose for that. And guess what? Disqualification, baby, because it was going to be that. But guess what would happen? It wasn't a disqualification. We all thought it was going to be that way, but the skull crushing finale is what actually did it. So right before the disqualification probably could have been called, we had the skull crushing finale in this thing. So hey, guess what, Sean? We didn't have to just go off that disqualification. We actually got a finish to this match. I think Ambrose is definitely going to be able to stand there on Raw tomorrow night and complain about the fact that he shouldn't have lost, but still, The Miz had a great point here. We both saw it on Talking Raw, right, Sean, where The Miz got, you know, in front of that microphone and used this to his best advantage, saying, look, it was my finisher that won this match. It was not a disqualification. You guys keep saying all this bad stuff about me, but it was, honest to goodness, a true win for me. So I like that. I love the tease at the end there, Sean, where, you know, really, I kind of thought it was going to be a DQ. I thought it finally happened, and it didn't. So I mean, I don't know how you feel. I actually enjoyed the start, and it wasn't bad.
No, another good match again on the show. I saw a lot of people complain about how they use the stipulation, and I think if you're going to say that, yes, The Miz is a heel, they should have went ahead and just had him win by that disqualification of Maryse slapping him, or even the referee being bumped inadvertently by Dean Ambrose. Yes, does that work better as the heel tactic or Miz outsmarting him or whatnot? But I think it's more about it shows pecking order right now. I think it shows, you know, not that we need to get, like, political about it or whatever, but I think what it does is it shows that right now they have a lot more faith and care about The Miz than they do about Dean Ambrose. And I think The Miz told you a lot about perhaps, you know, a lot of the views of what people think of Dean Ambrose right now. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what the company thinks, that Dean Ambrose is kind of a character that's not really going anywhere. He's just there. And The Miz has obviously proven himself every single time. The Miz goes out there and proves himself how good he is. On SmackDown, he really, like, took it up to another level again. And I feel like like now the title might matter, and that's the whole point of this feud, is that Miz has felt like Dean Ambrose is, you know, not made this title matter. When did he defend it last? One of the things he brought up, and I thought that was good. I thought that that's nice that we're making this a point. And if you have Miz win by some cheap tactic where he doesn't even get the pin, he doesn't look anywhere near as good as him actually getting that skull crusher finale and that final blow and getting the 1-2-3. He outright won the match, whether it's by distraction or not. He did. He won.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. And if there was extreme rules, which most of those matches are all supposed to have extreme rules, that would have been legal anyway, if you think about it. So, I mean, that's probably not something they're going to use in the trying to justify all that. But if you think about it, that would have all been legal anyway, and it wouldn't have mattered. But I just think it does much more for Miz, and I think the fight there with Renee Young on Raw Talk was actually important, because perhaps this is an angle that we're going to use now to try to rebuild Dean. We're going to try to get sympathy for, hey, we care about him. He's not just some dumb dude out there. Like, I don't know what we're going to use, but he needs a rebuild in some way or fashion. Seriously does. And I don't know if bringing Renee more into the storyline is going to help anything, but it's certainly a twist that it's different than previous stuff with Ambrose. So,
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, for the Miz part, I mean, this is very important for the fact that we saw him come off SmackDown pretty hot. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, he was really getting into some great, deep conversations with Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack, which were just infiltrated with anger and hatred, but yet at the same time, some awesome barbs back and forth to each other. I mean, The Miz was on fire with some of the things he was saying. And then we saw him come to Raw, and I think with Dean Ambrose being, you know, first opponent and all that stuff, I think a lot of us were looking at it as like, oh man, it's just not hitting very well. The Miz cannot be The Miz. He has no post-show to get on and just really spew out what he wants to say, which we all love what he has to say because it's sometimes truthful. And in this instance, we got that again. It's almost like not a rebirth, but almost like a, hey, this is what he does best. Hey, don't forget, this is The Miz. He can actually do all these other things besides just show up on Raw, do a few things, done. No, he's actually really good and given the opportunity to do what he was doing on SmackDown, and you're going to get something that's very valuable to the Raw brand. And they did a good job here on Extreme Rules. I can't say a little bit on Raw, but I think they did right here on this night a really good job of giving us what The Miz does best. And Ambrose, like you're saying here, Sean, that's the big key here. Where is Ambrose going from here? I'm sure he's still going to get his rematch with Miz and all that, but is Renee Young going to be enough to help him, to rebuild him? I say no. As great as Renee Young is, I don't think, you know, she's not a trained wrestler. So don't expect her, I don't think, unless they just really push it someday, and they probably will, for her to get in the ring. I just don't think that's the way you do it. You let Ambrose be something different. You let him rebuild some way, some other place.
Just and please don't have it be another feud with Bray Wyatt, because that was the only guy that I thought after that main event, which I'm surprised, normally we start backwards, that Bray Wyatt was the only one that looked like he didn't have somebody to feud with going forward out of that Fatal 5-Way, and I hope to God it's not. We're going to stick him with Dean Ambrose. But
yeah, I think there's a... I really don't think that's going to be the case just off the top. I think really they like Ambrose, and I really feel like it's a strange thing because the fans at times love him, and then there's the other sect that just kind of is tired of the same shtick. It's kind of like, okay, we've seen this. Let's move on with this. I think really he does need to retool, and I don't know how or when they're going to do it. I definitely agree with you. Bray Wyatt's not the guy to do it against, that, especially for the fact that they won't let Bray Wyatt break out. They've kind of kept him in this little box, and they will not let him break out. I think Ambrose needs to break out himself, but I think it's up to him. I don't think that the whole company is holding him back. I think it's up to him to kind of retool. And I don't know, maybe he's just not that kind of personality, but they need to do something. He needs to do something and get better. And you know what's kind of funny? I think back when Stone Cold Steve Austin had Ambrose on his podcast, he kind of said this, and I didn't believe Stone Cold for a minute. I honestly thought, Stone Cold, you're being hard on a guy that's doing okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. And Stone Cold saw this coming a mile away, where all of a sudden we're all seeing what he was seeing is, come on, get better. Do some more impactful things. Take chances. And that's what's going to take place if we get a better Ambrose. It's going to be him taking more chances, getting out there and really letting people know who he is. So I'm looking forward to seeing him do better things. But Ambrose, please, no Bray Wyatt thing. Let's find another feud. Let's do something new. In fact, I didn't like The Miz actually being his first opponent. But now I'm kind of liking it. But yeah, there you go, guys. I mean, we do have The Miz as your new Intercontinental Champion. I'm really looking forward to Monday Night Raw to kind of see where he goes from here and what kind of things he's going to say, because I think Raw Talk gave us a preview to what we could hear tomorrow. And of course, seeing Dean Ambrose get back involved is probably going to be a big thing. Let's move on, though, and let's talk about this match between Noam Dar and Alicia Fox against Rich Swann and Sasha Banks. And honestly, Sean, I think when we did the predictions, we kind of really honestly thought this was going to be the pre-show. I really felt it was going to be that way. It didn't. It made the main show. Didn't have a lot of expectations out of this. I can't really say that I was just overjoyed with it. I think it was okay.
It was just there.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It was just there. You do have Sasha Banks and Rich Swann winning, which I think all of us kind of thought was going to happen. You know, we do have Sasha Banks doing double knees going outside of the ring, jumping out, and it actually hits Dar, which leads to Rich Swann getting a 5-star Swan Splash, winning this match. But yeah, I mean, besides getting that pop for those two and really getting excited for Sasha and Swan, there was not much to this. I mean, there's really not a lot to talk about, Sean. I mean, this was kind of just a match where you say, okay, good for them. What's next?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, they tried to their credit, they've really tried to hype this up. I don't know where you're going to go, because it's not like we have this mixed tag division on Raw, and it's not like, I mean, yeah, you could find somebody to pair up with Nia, or you could find some, I don't know who else is on in the Raw women's division that's not doing something. Summer Rae, you could find somebody to pair up with her and keep this Rich Swann and Sasha Banks thing going, but you know, cool, they have chemistry. I expected them to win. It's an easy let the faces have a moment thing. Rich Swann wins in his hometown, which is a miracle, and Sasha, you know, made a big deal about that on Raw Talk, which I appreciate, because they've been making a big deal about all these hometown losses for so long. You know, we just had one on SmackDown with AJ losing in Atlanta. So, I mean, that was good in a way, but this was just something you could see on Raw for 5 minutes, and there's nothing really special about it. Not so much we've seen Noam Dar and Swan go at it, I don't know how many times now, so what are they going to pull out of the bag that we haven't seen? It was cool to get to see Sasha do something, but again, you know, this was just something to fill time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, this was a definitely cool down match that you would expect somewhere in the mat, you know, especially being on the main card. So nothing super great. You got, you know, what you wanted, Sasha Banks and Swan winning. There you go. No problems with that, I guess. And of course, I do want to mention something else. They did show up on Raw Talk, but I'm going to save that until we get done with this next match and kind of talk about it. Before we jump into the next match, we do need to talk about Elias Samson, the Drifter.
Well, I was going to say that even though I hope it's not him, because we've seen this already, as much as the matches were really good, I want to see him wrestle somebody else. Rich Swann did, you know, bring up that he wants to go for the Cruiserweight title again, and you know, Sasha kind of made mention of that with Nia Jax, of course, promising that, you know, she was going to get whoever won the match from tonight. So I did like that they each have their own goals, and that they have an eye towards what that's going to be. Don't know if they're going to be involved in that. I hope not, because again, we've seen Rich Swann and Neville, as much as great as it was, I think, you know, give it a break. Let Neville go out to other faces and see what happens. But yeah, definitely good that we have a direction sort of for those two.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and this is, you know, a good way to get people to get back on track with both of them. So, yeah, let's talk about Elias Samson. I mean, this is just a little section here of the show where they just kind of had him go out there and sing and announce himself. So, I mean, I don't really know what this does for you besides, you know, reminding people that he's there. I don't know, Sean. I didn't get a lot out of it personally. I mean, you know, making the crowd boo you because of what you're singing about their town. It's easy, cheap heat, but I don't know. I really don't know what I was supposed to get out of this.
The Drifter just annoying the crowd. That's what he's doing. That's what he's supposed to do. I mean, it's not anything special. I feel like the only way you can redeem this, other than just having some random guy come out and whoop him, is, I said this before, it's like, you gotta have a concert off. Like, have the Drifter do his thing and then have the Rock come out and do a Rock concert. I mean, and then you vote for who's the best or something, and just have the Rock give him a Rock Bottom, and there you go. I mean, yeah, you buried him, but like, that's perfect that they go against each other singing, and then Rock just gets to whoop him for 10 seconds or whatever, like he did Eric Rowan. I mean, I think it'd be funny. It's something that you could see Rock doing. It's a way to get him an appearance. I mean, Baywatch just bombed, so, you know, it's something that he could do to pass the time and not have to think about that.
Could you just imagine? The Rock comes out, does the Rock concert, stands up and celebrates, and then rips his, you know, rip away pants off, and he's got the Baywatch gear on. Go watch Baywatch now.
Oh, God. Yeah, I could see him do that. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. And I love his explanation. It's the critics. The critics are to blame. Everyone else I talk to love the movie. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure, Rock. Everything you could do is going to be a success. I'm sure. And you're not going to have any failures. Come on.
Like, you know, I'm sure it's fine. Like, I'm sure it's not bad, like, terrible, where, oh, my God, I can't watch this for 10 seconds. But, I don't think anybody expected it to be some critical darling. If you did, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what movies you watch.
Exactly. Especially ones that are rehashing old TV shows, because I'm still offended that they made Chips the way they did. And I'm sure Baywatch fans are a little offended probably the way they made Baywatch, you know. So it is what it is. But the same, you know, Rock, I mean, it's going to happen. This is Hollywood. You're going to make some of those movies that people just don't care about, even if you're in them. So it happens. But yeah, I agree with you on the Drifter and having a concert off with somebody. If it's not the Rock, it needs to be another person. Heck, I mean, later on down the road when Jericho makes a brief appearance or something, have Jericho get in the ring and do some kind of, you know, Rock off with him. Or I don't know who else sings, but, you know, get someone else in there to do that. It'd be hilarious.
You know, they could have a Drifter versus Aiden English.
Oh,
you know, cross brand performance or whatever, like the, you know,
they should do that at SummerSlam.
Two terrible acts in WWE.
I'd love it.
Could you imagine, like, that's on the free show? Just,
I would love it, because, you know, you'd have them, like, you know, run into each other and be like, what are you doing here? I'm here to sing. No, I'm here to sing. No, and then they just get into this whole fight.
But you can't play a guitar. Well, you can't do it. Like, something really dumb. But
yeah.
We're talking about really stupid stuff right now.
So. I know. It's ridiculous. But, hey, it's fun, right, to think about. So we'll move on to something else. And you
this
know,
is what you do at 2 in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, we're doing this to get this out early for people on Monday morning on their drive to work. Let's talk about what's going on in this women's division. Now, we had the women's championship match here with a kendo stick on a pole. Yes, very
Rusev. Kendo stick to nowhere.
Yeah.
This match went nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, let's just quickly set this up for everybody, just in case you don't remember everything about it. Basically, a little bit of back and forth between the two. They both finally reach the kendo stick. It falls down. They both are out of the ring. They have to crawl back in. Bayley is successful in getting the kendo stick, but guess what? She is not the one that gets to use it. It is really Alexa Bliss who gets it away from her, uses a majority of this match, and then Bayley to belly, you know, of course, knocks the kendo stick out. Bayley, it's 2 in the morning. Bayley gets the, you know, kendo sticks, hesitates, and then the next thing you know, guess what? Alexa Bliss takes control of the match, bounces her head off the kendo stick in the corner, and it doesn't take long before that DDT comes out. 1, 2, 3. And Alexa Bliss is still your women's champion on Raw. I mean, Sean, I'm like you. Not a lot here. Alexa Bliss looks the same, standing tall as the champion. It's sad to say this, Sean, but the best that Bayley really got a chance to look was in her promo. I think the promo earlier in the show made her look good. I think the promo was really a one that she was determined. She talked about watching all these other great legends who used the kendo stick. I mean, using Blackman, talking about, you know, Tommy Dreamer, even Sandman. And also throwing in Wonder Woman, which, you know, DC, you owe her some money for plugging your movie. But anyway, I think that was a lot better than what we got here in the match. And basically, Alexa Bliss just stands golden.
Yeah, totally. This was nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, she had a slight hesitation, and that led to her not... This is kind of subtle in that Bayley doesn't want to use weapons. It's not who Bayley is, kind of thing. But it's like, you guys have already blown out of the water what Bayley is. You ruined Bayley with that segment last week on Raw. If you hadn't done it already, you absolutely really hurt her on Monday. The fans were booing her. You don't boo Bayley. You just don't. So, at least Sammy saying they haven't done something that catastrophic to, but it's just like, I don't understand how you can just totally not get Bayley that badly. And then, we try to do these subtle storytelling things with her, and it's just, you're going to have to do a heck of a lot more than that. It's just... It doesn't work for me. What is with Raw and totally going the opposite of the Women's Revolution and doing this? We're going to have these 5-minute matches here and there. Like, you have this really dumb stipulation for them. And then the match goes about 5 minutes. Like, it's just, I just don't get it. Like, great, Alexa wins. Let's see what happens with the next step in the story or whatever, or I guess we'll see how Nia gets involved in this, if they make it a triple threat or what they do, but it's just, I'm still pissed about Monday, and then this did her no favors.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you definitely don't want the crowd to turn on Bayley, because her whole survival right now is the fact that the crowd is supposed to love her and like her. They're not putting her in positions, really, for the most part, that are going to really help her a lot, especially for the fact that they're not building her when it comes to saying that, hey, we should love this character, we should love what she does. All they've done really is kind of lived off her past fame, which was in NXT. Well, guess what? Not a lot of people watch NXT. NXT may be great for us fans who watch everything, but those fans who don't still don't know why they're supposed to care about this head-wearing, goofy-looking clothes kind of person. If they just know that it's some person that, you know, is like a cartoon in a way, and then they're presented with all these other people who are a little bit more serious, and they buy into that, right? The reason that Alexa Bliss is over as much as she is kind of like with Charlotte. They're very upfront. They're very serious to an extent, and they also don't play around, which Bayley, that's her thing. She plays around. She pops for the crowd. You know, she does all this stuff, and it's just not working out. It's sad to say this, but I think Bayley is finding her way to the back of the line, and I don't know that the crowd is going to get back on top for her and really chant her name unless they find a storyline that really builds her back up. And who is that going to be against? You can't have Sasha and Bayley go back against each other, especially for the fact right now, who cares, right? Yeah. What have they done lately? No one cares about what they're doing.
Yeah, you'd have to have Sasha turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem is, just like you saw with Alexa, where she got a big reaction and Bayley's got a bunch of boos, you might get people cheering the fact that Sasha turns on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what the thing here is right now also, they're still showcasing that Sasha and Bayley are really good friends. They even, in fact, in that Talking Raw that I was kind of saving until this point, they we had Renee Young actually ask Sasha that, you know, what do you think about this loss for Bayley? And she says she's sad for her, but she also said that, you know, she's going to do what she's going to do, you know, and basically saying, I'm going to go for the championship eventually, and really kind of making that point. Now, I'm sure I'm sad, blah, blah, blah. But later on down the line, you know, it's going to be a situation where Sasha turns heel, Bayley's trying to chase the title again, and it's going to be bad. But I think really for that to mean anything, you've got to build Bayley back up. You cannot continue to ignore her and to not feed that character. You've got to build that character back up. You just have to. Otherwise, no one's ever going to care about a Sasha and Bayley match. It's not going to matter. So we'll see. I think what we got here is now the next opponent for Alexa Bliss, you know, Nia Jax apparently, or who, you know, however they decide to turn this thing, because they could change it on a dime. We never know. But I think it's going to be very interesting. And I think right now, you got, you know, one of your top heels being really over with the crowd when it comes to Alexa Bliss. So we'll see. Well, let's move on here and let's talk about the tag team championships on Raw. That, of course, is held by the Hardys going into this match, and they face off against Cesaro and Sheamus in a cage match. And, of course, in this match, you know, both team members have to be out of the cage to win this match. So it can't just be one guy. It's got to be both of them. And, Sean, I think we got a pretty darn good match here. I really enjoyed it. At first, I was wondering if it was going to be slow, if it was going to do what. I think this actually was very good for the fact that it progressed and progressed and progressed in the right direction. The action got amped up. You had several scares for, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus, where it looked like Matt Hardy was going to escape several times, including Jeff as well. You got to throw Jeff in the fact that he almost escaped by himself. But we do later on in this match getting Jeff escaping and Matt Hardy being stuck in the ring alone with both Cesaro and Sheamus. And this got to be a little nasty for Matt. He, you know, of course, took some huge bumps in this, but I think it was also great to see that they allowed him to also get some great offense in just by himself without Jeff in the match. We also see, you know, Sheamus try to escape out of the, you know, the door, and Jeff trying to keep him at bay. He's able to keep Cesaro at bay, but Sheamus bro kicks the cage door, knocks Jeff out a little bit longer. And then you still had this battle between Matt and Cesaro and Sheamus. And what we get here towards the end is Jeff deciding that he's going to help his brother out. He goes to the top of the cage, gets himself back involved in this match, and does a whisper in the wind, which is pretty awesome. That's just normal Jeff Hardy stuff, which was very exciting. The only bad thing is it put him at the disadvantage. Cesaro and Sheamus crawl over the top of the cage while Matt tries to drag Jeff out of the cage, and the Cesaro and Sheamus are just too quick. They're new, you know, they're the new tag champs, and the Hardys are kind of shocked, but that's the way the cookie crumbles in this. And I think overall, really fun match to watch. I love the momentum in it, and you got new tag champs.
I think that the match was really good from a technical standpoint. I'm not a big fan of the escape the cage thing. I think it's silly. I think it's it defies logic. Jeff Hardy, I get it that he is crazy and he doesn't care and whatever, and it's like Jeff should have grown up and all that by now and understood that like taking out the guys or even going out by yourself and not getting back in immediately doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just you're leaving your brother there to go high and dry. So, I mean, look, they could obviously turn this into how maybe Matt gets broken or Matt turning on Jeff, or I don't know if that's where they want to go, or this is just an easy way to have the Hardys lose the belts and not get pinned, which that's what it feels like too. But, and I mean, and all that's fine. I think all that's fine, and that this is a good way to set that up. But I'm not a big fan. I love when there's pins in cage matches, and you can have drama, and you can still have the escape in the cage. I'm fine with it. You can have them try to walk out the door and all that stuff, but it's just, when that's all it is, it just loses it, because that's all they end up doing is, how many times can I jump at the cage? How many times can I jump at the cage? And it's the same thing over and over and over, and then it's like, okay, well, how many times can I try to get as close as I can before I have to start acting like I have to leave a limb there so somebody can grab it. It just, I don't know. I'm just, the moves were great. Like, the big spots were cool. Like, Jeff doing the Whisper in the Wind, that's a great callback to old Jeff Hardy and everything. And, yes, I like the drama at the end. Just, I just, all the build-up to it, there was more misses than hits, I guess.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it does get to be a little hokey at times, you know, and I get that, but I think that's a normal thing with these cage matches, so I think sometimes it's easy for me to forgive.
And it's like, why wouldn't you try to go out the door? That seems like less of a trudge than trying to go up the cage to go over and make sure you beat your opponent and, like...
Yeah.
What?
It's all, once again...
Why wouldn't Matt try to run out the door when he's by himself?
Exactly. It's well, you were talking about pro wrestling, Sean.
I know, but come on, you gotta be like, we're talking about pro wrestling. Yes, I gotta suspend my disbelief a lot, but then there's a certain point where, you know, it breaks that barrier, and you're going, God, even if he dives, and the guy grabs him by the foot or something, like, I'd much rather see that than seeing broken down Matt Hardy with bad knees try to climb over the cage. Just,
yeah. No, I mean, I'm right there with you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that agree with you, you know, and I think I forgive a lot of those things that we say, God, the logic is there, why not use it? And it's just because we're so used to over the years seeing these steel cage matches, and that's the same shtick we get. These guys could have crawled out of the ring, like, you know, 10 minutes ago. Didn't do it. You know, they could have definitely got out that door. But I think really this goes back to something you just pointed out, Sean, and I think it is about the fact that the Hardys could lose the belt this way, and both those belts being switched over to Cesaro and Sheamus is something new without the Hardys being pinned. And in a way, it's kind of a, you know, I don't want to say a breath of fresh air, but in a way it kind of is. I love the Hardys as champions. It's great, but... You know, you do need to change some things up, especially if you're not going to use the broken gimmick, and you've got to find a way to keep the Hardys interesting, and especially keeping fans behind them. That's a good way, because now they're chasing the belts again, right? And they're not just doing the same thing, winning every time they get out there and just win. Eventually, that does get old. So I'm okay with this for that fact. I'm looking forward to seeing what else is going to transpire. Of course, we know the Revival are coming back and all that type of stuff. So I think there's going to be some interesting things taking place. I you know, I can forgive some of this stuff, but I still thought it was fun. You know, logic's not always there. I still love the momentum, though. The ending was kind of interesting and fun. So let's talk about the Cruiserweight division, though. I'm really curious what you have to say about this, Sean, because this is a match that I think all of us were kind of saying, God, well, it's got to be good, right? It's got Austin Aries and your Cruiserweight champion Neville involved, and every time they get in the ring together, it's usually pretty some great stuff, right? And it's nice, and it's smooth usually, because both these guys are such great veterans, and they know what they're doing in the ring. So it's almost a given great match, but... You have to also look at the way things end, and this is a submission match, so this isn't just based off of what physicality they do. It's really about who's going to submit first, and this match was pretty good all the way through it. I mean, I love the fact that we do have Austin Aries basically retweaking his knee, and of course, we also saw that he injured his arm on the apron, which Neville definitely took advantage of. And that was a great storyline involved in this. We saw Austin Aries get very close to beating Neville. In fact, he tapped out Neville on the outside of the ring, but that is not legal in this match. You have to do it in the ring. And as the match progressed, Neville took advantage and was able to hit a red arrow and, of course, get the Rings of Saturn on Austin Aries after a series of events. And there you go. Got Neville winning again, and it seems like Austin Aries can't get over this hump. He cannot beat your Cruiserweight champion, Neville. I thought this match was pretty good, Sean. I mean, I don't know if I just was overly impressed of this match based on any other matches we saw, but I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. The work was all just really good. Austin Aries, again, he gets a visual tap out on... Neville. Unless you're going to just do this big match on 205 Live and have Aries win, man, you've had Aries lose a lot to Neville. And I guess this means the feud is over. You also have Aries say on Twitter, I don't know if this is going to mean anything. Aries said on Twitter, well, I'm now going to go explore some, you know, life and wrestling decisions. Like, making it seem like this is a big, you know, like, this is a watershed moment for him. Like, uh-oh, if I couldn't beat Neville this time, something's going on with me. Like, I need to go look at myself. And maybe it turns into something, maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe it's just him just saying something to kayfabe the crowd out. But, I love the figure four usage. I love the Aries doing the Rings of Saturn. I loved him getting the tap out on the outside. And then, but it doesn't count because it's on the outside. And Neville gets that dominant, or not dominant, but decisive, red arrow to the back, Rings of Saturn, Aries taps. Let's see what happens. I hope it's Akira Tozawa, like I said earlier, that he wrestles next for the title. I don't know where you go with Aries. I just don't want to see him wrestle TJP again. He's done it like 30 million times.
Yeah, good God. That would just be pointless. You know, I love Austin Aries. I really do. And I think that he's got a lot to offer. And it makes me wonder if they just wanted to use him in a different way. He's a great baby face for this division. They need one. And they've really used him to, I think, to their total capacity at this point. A turn for him could be also an interesting thing. But, I mean, do you really need two just giant heels? Maybe you consider a three with Brian Kendrick also. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way they want to go. Maybe they want to use a lot of these younger guys to be more of the baby faces and these veterans be the heels, and having all these young cruiserweights come up and take up and be just these good guys that people love. You know, Jack Gallagher, to an extent, has been a huge baby face for this division. And, you know, maybe he faces off against an Austin Aries. Maybe Austin Aries decides to change his mind and turns on Gallagher. You know, so you never know. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they just reevaluate, and you have Neville facing off against a younger guy and losing the belt that way. And then Austin Aries comes back eventually and faces that younger guy and wins. I don't know. There's plenty of ways to look at it. But once again, I think this has got to be over between Aries and Neville. I think doing it again is just too much. And Austin Aries has lost so much already. You're right, Sean. There's really no other way you can go about this. It just, to me, it's got to be done. So we'll see. I think this does open the door for other great matchups for Neville. Let's just hope that it's not rehashed, and let's hope the same for Austin Aries. I don't need to see the same matches we've seen 100 times. So.
Yeah. I just don't see how there's any more explaining Aries having another match with Neville other than you're going to say, okay, I got another visual tap out on you, and somebody makes the match and he wins on 205. That's the only thing I can think of is you haven't went on 205 to make that show feel like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Like, there's no other reason why they need to have a match again.
You're right, and that could be something. And they could explore that. And if they do that, okay, there you go. Well, you know, Neville got his big win on the pay-per-view, but Austin Aries finally gets his win, and it's a big deal. And it's not on the pay-per-view. It's on the show that they want people to watch, 205 Live, and not a bad idea. Are they going to do it? I don't know. I'd venture to say that they're not, but it would be intelligent, and it would be something that would make a lot of sense, so... We'll find out this next Tuesday night if that is going to take place. We may even find out tomorrow night on Raw if they're going to make that move to make a match like that. Let's talk about this main event, though, Sean. This is a big fatal five-way match, an Extreme Rules match that I think a lot of us were really interested in seeing who the victor was going to be, because that person, that number one contender coming out of this match, will face against Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire. And out of these five guys, I mean, I think really there were no big losers. There were some guys we really didn't know how good it would be if they won, but we still felt like they would have a great opportunity against a guy like Brock Lesnar. We had Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor. We had Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt all facing off against each other in this match. And I think all these guys put a pretty darn good showing on, especially for the fact that this was an Extreme Rules match. And for the most part, it was without weapons, but then that started to happen later on in this matchup. What was interesting is we had Roman Reigns at the beginning be Superman, like always, and pretty much took everybody out single-handedly. No worries there. Then things broke down a little bit more. We had Bray Wyatt and Samoa Joe kind of play tag team and went out and cleared the whole room out and made sure everybody were on their knees. Finn Balor got a little spark here, started flying through people. And then, you know, really Seth Rollins also got a lot of offense in. Some of the bigger spots in this match, we had Roman Reigns actually spear both Samoa Joe and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor through the barricade. And then we have Bray Wyatt on top of a table where Seth Rollins decides he's going to go over the top and jump down and for the frog splash, take out Bray Wyatt through the table. All this happens within a minute of each other. Big pop from the crowd. They all loved it. It was a big deal. But, you know, to finish this match out, it was very interesting. Everybody looked like they were going to get a close victory. But we had Samoa Joe to get the clutch on Mr. Finn Balor and make him basically pass out and wins this matchup. The Kimura Clutch is a great move, I think, for Samoa Joe. He's a guy that, I mean, it means a lot because of his size. It definitely means a lot more now that he choked out Finn Balor with it because we saw how much the crowd is behind him. I think this is an interesting choice, Sean. I don't think it's a bad matchup. I didn't see Samoa Joe facing off against Brock Lesnar for a little while. I honestly thought that would be something down the line, but being right now, interesting choice, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think everybody except for Robert Taylor on our predictions and go him for getting it right. Even though I think many of us said, oh, this is a dream match, we really want to see it. We just didn't think that it would happen right away like that. And hey, you know, he gets this big win. How cool is it that he gets to wrestle Brock Lesnar? I think we've all wanted to see that for a long time, and now we'll get to see it. I really hope that, I mean, and first off, before we, you know, get into the afters, this match was terrific. Yes, there's a lot of just one guy in the ring and then another guy wrestles and then another, you know, the typical WWE formula of whatever, but man, when they were on trying to hit stuff, like a lot of the things that you laid out, Gary, just, oh, there's so much going on here. It's 30 minutes, but it's 30 minutes of action, constantly stuff going on. Every guy gets a shot at you possibly having a chance that they're going to win. I love the team up of Bray and Samoa Joe for large parts of this. That was fun. I could totally see them being a tag team together. That'd be great. Not that it needs to happen tomorrow or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It would be cool to see. Actually, what am I saying? We'll probably see them team together tomorrow for Raw. I would not be surprised at all. And, you know, it like, you know, Finn and I could totally see Finn and Roman against Joe and Bray tomorrow as, like, your main event or something. But, seriously, this was terrific. The moment with the Seth and Roman was actually kind of cool, actually, the way that they did it. But Joe getting the clutch on Finn, I think, you know, harkens back to their NXT feud, which, you know, I don't know that Vince really cares about that, but I could easily see Finn and Joe having another feud here. Well, you know, Brock is not in the picture. How much is Brock going to be in that picture in this build-up? We've got another month here. We've got a whole month right now because I think it's, what, July 9th? Is that fair review? So, yeah, I really enjoyed this match. It's, you know, match of the year contender. It's on that border of matches that you're contending, like 4.5 stars or so. Definitely going to be in our, you know, going to put Joe into contention for Superstar of the Week and all that stuff. But just, this is awesome. I'm glad they're doing it. I think doing it on a B pay-per-view, I mean, yeah, would you love to see Samoa Joe have that moment with Brock at SummerSlam? Yeah, no doubt. No doubt you want to, but I just really hope they get to go out there and have a match and not Brock just beating him in 5 minutes. Because that is totally just terrible for the Joe character. And Joe's one of those guys that legitimately could beat him. Looks like he could beat him. Don't have him get beat in like 5 minutes. That's stupid.
I agree, and that's my only fear about this. And, you know, I think when you walk out of Extreme Rules, you think of Samoa Joe as being this big, strong guy who had a lot of dominance in this match. Of course, yeah, sure, had a little help, but still, very dominant guy. He is the Destroyer. That Coquina Clutch is obviously very serious because he's not put it on very many people and really lost out. All those guys have really haven't even had a chance to tap out because it's such a big, strong submission move for him that a lot of guys just pass out, you know? And it's really just, to me, it's very impactful, and I like that. The question is here is how are they going to put this guy against Brock Lesnar? I'm sure with both of them being, you know, heels and really kind of coming out from the same thought process, I'm big, I'm dominant. How is this really going to mesh, if you can think about it? I mean, I don't know, but I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch. I really am looking forward to seeing that match. I just hope building up to it, it means something and it's important. I hope it's not just like, hey, we're just gonna mix these guys up. 1, 2, 3. Let's get to the pay-per-view. And then we'll just have Samoa Joe lose in like 3 minutes. No, I don't want to see that. I want to see a better matchup than that. I expect a better matchup. Like you said, Sean, this definitely hurts Samoa Joe if they put him out there, make him look good all the way up until the match, and then couple F5s, maybe, you know, 6 suplexes and he's done. That just does not work. I think they really have to have a little bit more even match, especially for the fact that, you know, Samoa Joe does possess a lot of great skills. And not only that, you know, it would be not a bad finish if, you know, he did win the title and beat Brock Lesnar with that Coquina Clutch.
They could totally surprise us all. Mm-hmm. And have Joe win, and then maybe Finn has or they have a rematch at SummerSlam, or Brock goes away, and Finn and Joe have a feud, and Finn wins the title back at SummerSlam to get that title he never really got to hold. There's a lot of ways they could go about this, but I just feel like at the end of the day, at some point, that belt's going to go back to Finn, you know, so they can rectify what they didn't get to do before. And so, you know, for me, I do hope that Joe gets to hold it. I think the guys deserved it. I mean, you don't protect him for no reason, right? They protected the guy. They didn't bring him up and just have him be a nobody. Uh-huh. So, you know, I feel like there's something to be said for that. And so, you know, yeah. It's got to be going somewhere, right? Brock doesn't really need to hold the title the whole year. And you don't need to have that match with Roman be for the title either. I mean, they could. They could also have Brock win the title back at Royal Rumble or something. And there you have that match with Roman or whatever they want to do with it. But just, I don't know. I hope that you just do right by Joe.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. And even if you don't want to give the Joe the title right now, at least give them that opportunity to look very domineering, to look like he's at least close to equal to Brock Lesnar. That's all I'm hoping, right? The one guy that didn't come out of this, and Sean mentioned him a little bit, it was Bray Wyatt for the fact that he looked great tagging with Samoa Joe, but outside of that, the guy did not really get an opportunity to look so overbearingly great. He had some good moments, but not as many as I think these other guys got. It was all about, really, for him, tagging up with Samoa Joe. So I do have my worries still about Bray Wyatt. I hope they find a place for him and really make it important, because I think the guy is super talented. I kind of hate the fact that he's not getting to do what I think he can do. Well, no, I'm just going to have to be like everybody else and watch him and hope they find other things to do for him, because he needs to be in a better situation. But other than that, I'm super happy for Samoa Joe. I am so glad for him to be the number one contender, and we walk out of Extreme Rules, I think, a little surprised, but I think happy at the same time. And so there you go. The last thing we got to do on this show, though, is rate this show and give you our opinion on what we felt it deserved. So, Sean, take it away. What did you think this show deserved?
You know, I think outside of Alexa Bliss and Bayley, and I hate saying that, everything else was good. You had the one tremendous match in the main event that delivered. I think you had a very good match between the Austin Aries and Neville. And then you had a good match at the kickoff that we didn't expect, and another good match in the IC title with the right guy taking the title there, and then Cesaro and Sheamus get the, you know, some people were predicting it, but surprise win for Cesaro and Sheamus, and another good match that I hate the stipulation that they put in there, but I still think it's a good match. So overall, an enjoyable show. 7 for me. I know there was a lot of people that really hated this show because they didn't think it got enough extreme for them. And I don't even harp on this anymore, because this is the way it's been for years. I think the last time they really went extreme was Cena and Brock. When Brock was bleeding everywhere, Cena was bleeding everywhere, and all that stuff, like, that Extreme Rules 2012, I feel like that's the last time they really went extreme. So, like, to me, this is just a brand for WWE as far as the pay-per-view. It's not, we shouldn't really take this, extreme is not going to mean what extreme meant a long time ago. And people need to stop thinking that it does and hating on WWE for that, because they're a PG company and it's not going to be that way. And so, for me, it's still a good show. And mm-hmm. and you have matches. You definitely need to go watch that main event. It's definitely worth your time. And, you know, check out whatever else you want. But I think the vital thing is the main event.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm right there with you. I think a 7 is a perfect rating for this. I look at this as being a pretty solid show. I was entertained all the way through. You know, it does suck. We have to sit here and say probably the least favorite thing out of it does have to be that women's match, but we have to be honest, and we'll hope that they do better in that situation. But for the most part, I was entertained, and I thought they did a good job. I can't really say that it deserves anything higher, because I think that, you know, if I was even giving it a 7.5, that may be a little pushing it. But that main event was great. It's exciting, and I think that it lived up to everything it needed to be. You know, I had a lot of fears going into that match. It was going to be a cluster, and we were going to get some screwy finish and kind of care less about what happened, and that's not what happened at all. So very happy with the finale of this whole, you know, pay-per-view and everything that it turned out to be. So there you go. Really excited to hear other people's opinions about it. And if you want to let your case be known and tell us what you think about it, make sure you contact us. Of course, you can put your comments on either the iTunes or wherever you find this. Of course, on W2Mnet.com, you can throw your comments on there as well on this episode and tell us, say, hey, dude, I totally disagree, or I agree with everything you guys say. Whatever you want to say, just throw your information on the site and let us know how you feel, because that's very important to us. We love to hear your comments and everything you guys have to say. So please do so. Also, you can hit us up on, you know, Wrestling to the Max, the group on Facebook. That's another great place you can go and let your voice be heard. We have lots of people on there who do that as already. So, hey, just join us and do that. Also, don't forget, once again, go rate and review at Wrestling to the Max, or, of course, the W2M Network, whatever one you like to listen to or subscribe to. Also, make sure you go check out W2Mnet.com and check out all the other great content we're going to have for you. This week, we are, of course, going to do our episode 250 of Wrestling to the Max. We'll be doing part 1 on Monday night following our Raw review. I know it's just crazy, Sean.
250. Well, we really have more than 250 episodes.
I know.
With all the extras and everything else we've done. But, yeah, those are the just numbered ones. Man.
I know. And plus, the lost tapes that people don't even know about that started this whole show.
Yeah. Let's not go back to those. Those are terrible.
Yeah, we're okay not doing that. But also, you know, let everybody know, just please go check out part one of Wrestling in the Max this week. We'll involve some Ring of Honor talk. We'll be talking Best of the Super Juniors.
We'll also be getting
the finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And be getting into, of course, a lot of other great content when it comes to wrestling news. Our Raw review tomorrow night will, of course, be a lot of the fallout from tonight's Extreme Rules. Also, later in the week, we'll be doing part two of Wrestling in the Max, and that'll be a lot of fun as well. So
big Dominion preview, which is New Japan's SummerSlam, basically, happening on Sunday.
Definitely. Yeah, so, man, we've got great content all week long. So you need to go check out all the review shows and, of course, those Wrestling to the Max shows. They are a big deal. They've got lots of great content that you, trust me, you're not going to want to miss any of it. Besides,
if you enjoyed Extreme Rules that much, go listen to Harry and Patrick talk about it, too, on Wrestling Unwrapped.
Definitely. Wrestling Unwrapped is great. If you're missing out on that show at all, and maybe you come check us out, trust me, it is worth your time. Those guys have, a lot of different opinions than us sometimes, and so you got to be well-rounded, and I think it's great. You definitely need to go check those guys out. I love their show, and I hope you will go give them a try if you haven't already, and I'm sure a lot of you guys probably have already done that, so go check it out. But yeah, we are done, Sean, so we will catch everybody on the flip side until later on. Thanks a lot for listening.
Later, people.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.